The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, thank you for once again being with us on Afternoons with Mike, and I am excited to have a couple of people drop by our studios here in Orlando today. Dear friends of mine, one is my son-in-law, Chris Jesse, and with him is the man who's been serving for a number of years, Aaron Osborne. Aaron has been serving as senior pastor, and we're here today on the program to talk about a number of issues that they've been working on, the church has been working on for a number of years, actually. In fact, I could say it this way, what is actually happening and what will be the fruit of this time of transition for these men is something that's been in the dream of the founder of the church going all the way back to the 80s, and that was Danny Jones. So his name will come up in due time here. But again, to Aaron Osborne, welcome back to my program. You've been here before. The last time I think it was with Jaime when we had Jaime Blandon on.
Well, that's correct, and good morning, Mike, and thank you for having me back, and that time with Jaime was such an enjoyable time. I've been looking forward to this morning.
Well, it's very exciting to get to talk to you again, and my own son-in-law, Chris Jesse. Welcome back, Chris.
Thanks, Mike. Glad to be here. I got to share my testimony last time, and this time we're looking a little bit more forward as it relates to Metro Life Church, so excited for that.
Well, it is an exciting thing, and you know, we have a number of local churches that are regularly represented on our program. It's my honor to regularly have people like Andy Searles, who I know you guys know.
Love Andy.
Yep. Yeah, he's a great guy at Church Together, and David Swanson from the First Presbyterian Church downtown is also a regular on the programming, and it's great to have Metro Life, this wonderful church that formed in 1985. I know that because that was the year Cindy and I moved down to be apart. But I'd like to move to the transition, Aaron, first of all, not the transition that we're making now, but the transition that actually brought you down to Orlando. Why don't you give us the quick story on that?
Yes, Mike. So Danny and I had struck up a friendship through having a similar role within a family of churches we were all part of at the time, which is what helped to build my relationship with him. But even preceding that, I had the privilege, Chris and I are not only sitting at this desk together, we sat at desk together in what we called a pastor's college. And so that's where our friendship began all those years ago. So just as an aside, it's just phenomenally wonderful and incredible, like how God just knit stories together. But 10 years ago, Mike, my family and I moved down as there seemed to be the collective counsel coming to bear at that time that it would be good for Danny to be able to give his focus fully to serving as lead pastor of Metro Life Church. And because he was in a dual role, serving both there and in the group of churches in the southeastern United States, that someone would need to take up that work, that extra local work. And so that is initially what moved me and my family to Orlando. A few things came up, primarily Danny's health. That was unforeseen, but his health in 2011 was such that he was unable to physically do the work of local ministry. And so you might say I kind of by default fell back into lead pastor role. But the reason I came was to be based at Metro and serve other churches.
Now, that is the term that I wanted to talk about for a moment, because that's going to bear into what we're here for today to discuss. Explain extra local, because I'm not sure that is a term that, you know, just everybody that's a believer and maybe go to church every day or every Sunday, I'm not sure they'd be familiar with that term.
Yes, you know, biblically speaking, the term would probably be apostolic ministry, but of course that's a word that has all kinds of meaning and unfortunately all kinds of abuse. And so I think in 2021, excuse me, language, at least in the United States, we have coaches and directors and facilitators and all manner of term. But simply put, Mike, the pattern we see in the New Testament is that local churches would function autonomously with their plurality of elders and yet have an interconnected relationship with other churches. In other words, the early church was aware that they were a part of something bigger and that they actually came together in mission. And what I marvel at regarding that is in many cases, believers, let's say in Philippi, would never actually meet the believers in Ephesus. And yet, through partnership, they knew they were together. And that would happen as they would have emissaries to your sent ones, which is really all apostolic ministry means. Yeah. It's one sent with the gospel message. And actually on that level, that's every single believer. You don't need to be employed by a church to be in an emissary role. But those who are formally working at connecting churches together, that's what we mean by extra local ministry.
Well, it is an exciting concept that has been at work in several of the churches that we're aware of. And the joy of seeing not only your local congregation's efforts, but to have friendships, to have a partnership in your term, that is an exciting thing then to join multiple congregations together. And when they are together or where they have relationships, it really does extend the kind of fondness that a fellowship that we Christians are really called to enjoy beyond your congregation into other cities even.
That's absolutely correct. And that's the pattern, again, in the New Testament. Autonomy is not held up as a value for the individual Christian in the New Testament, nor is autonomy held up as the value for a local church. Again, their governance, the affairs of the church, that's local matter worked out by the plurality of elders with the enjoyment of relationships in other places.
Well, that's what brought you here, was to work with those churches, and we now understand that once here, and you weren't here all that long before these health issues became apparent.
I think about 72 hours, more or less. It's a little bit of jest, but you're right. It wasn't very long.
It wasn't long. Yeah. And then what was that like for you on a personal level to realize that your initial thought or your initial job description that you just arrived to town with might be changing and changing pretty radically?
Well, I think at the time, Mike, part of this is the love and affection I felt then and continue to feel for Danny Jones. At the heart, whatever word you're going to use of extra local ministry, the very heart of it is servanthood and to serve. And so that was the need. That was the need of the hour. And we had such a wonderful strength of relationship with the churches that we were partnered with. There was so much love and affection that we all shared for Danny and Melody that it was a very easy transition. It wasn't what was foreseen, but it was the need of the hour. And anyone who knows Danny was leaning into that fully. So yes, it looked a little different, but it was wonderful to be able to step in and serve and give him what he needed to recover.
So in 2011, you were having to do what every church had to do in 2020, and that was pivot. You had to like quickly say, okay, I thought I was going to be doing this, but now I'm going to be doing this, and that's what that second part is what you've been doing since that time.
Yes, in kind of that dual role, and the dual role meaning leading a local church while also building with other churches extra locally. And, you know, part of what brings us to where we are now between Chris and I is the recognition that that may work for a time, but it's not a model that we believe is sustainable. Not if that extra local work is beginning to require more time. Just the building of relationships, for example, it just takes time. And, you know, as much as we've been blessed through COVID to have Zoom and online and all these various options, nothing can replace a meal together. Nothing replaces a cup of coffee together. But that has implications on the local church. And so that's really what brings us to where we are. At what point do you have to say, we really need to set apart someone for the lead role of the local church and someone for that extra local role?
Well, I think with that, then we should introduce the realization for you guys that the group that you were all working with at that point, there were changes that were also going on. And your church, along with several other churches, including the church that I was a part of up in Gainesville, left the original group to form a very, in the beginning, a very loose organization of friendships and vision and purpose. And there were a lot of meetings in the early days with these friends in other cities, if we could use that term. While it wasn't an official, it wasn't a recognized group or carrying a name, but it was, the heart was there. And now that's what you've been doing. You've been helping assist even the formation of these churches that were in the beginning friendships. And now there's actually a group of people forming, and you've got a name. Why don't you share about that?
Yeah, so that's well said, Mike. That name is Grace Partnership, and you said it right. We were friends already. We were spending time together. It was loose, but at some point you have to start to ask those questions, like what do we want? What do we have vision for? And then practically on the local level, what serves our local church? What mm-hmm. serves Metro Life Church? And Chris and the team have been exceedingly generous in my time and the ability to do that, but. But, you know, at some point it's difficult to lead if you're not there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know how else to say it, than that. And by lead, I don't mean in our context that, I, you know, Chris could speak to this. I don't think leadership in our context is this hierarchical pyramid where everything stops at the man on the top, but there's still a reality that direction, vision, and casting and all that goes into leadership requires presence. And, mm-hmm. and that's what we've been walking through these last 2 years. As we've moved from that friendship to more formalizing partnership, we've had to simultaneously look at, okay, but what is healthy for Metro Life Church?
Mm-hmm. And that is a great question, because now that demands more clarity in two ways. The group that were initially friends but not formal, now becoming more formalized, so that becomes something that needs, anytime you have any group, I don't care how many people there are in it, it takes organization. And we all know that organization just does not happen without effort. And that effort does not happen without time. And that speaks to what you're talking about. You as a pastor trying to give your effort to a local church, but also to other local churches. At some point, you bump into the reality that that 24-hour block is just not quite enough. And yet that 24-hour block is the constraint that we all face. So that brings us then to this most recent realization among the team of elders at Metro Life Church that you would be, and in some ways, similar to what Paul was in the Old Testament, set aside, if you will, for that work and sent for that work with the blessing of the church for that work. Is that fair to say it like that?
Yeah, I think that's fair, and I'll be eager to hear what Chris has to say on this. I think that's part of it. I would add this, you know, and Chris and I haven't talked directly on this specific thought. We've talked around it, I think. That would be additionally a recognition that, you know, churches go through seasons. Churches change for a variety of reasons. Needs change, et cetera. And in that, you start to discover where other people on the team are thriving, are more gifted in what may be the need of the hour, so mm-hmm. to say. And so I think the driver is, as you said, there are these extra local churches, and at what point those 24 hours, you know, there has to be a decision. I would say as well, personally, watching the way Chris has developed as a leader, and particularly some of the internal changes, structural changes we've made, you know, there's a gift set that Chris has that I look at and just have to recognize I don't have mm-hmm. that same set of gifts. And so that's in there as well. You know,
absolutely.
I think the extra local time is a driver, but we'd be having this conversation, I think, all the same, just in recognition that, okay, the church is at this point. What's the next step of leadership for Metro Life Church?
I think that is so true, that God sends and he equips and he puts in heart, not that a person like yourself couldn't, because you've done it. You've been a lead pastor in just a church, not only in Orlando, but up in Pennsylvania as well. So that's there without a doubt. But the purposes for you and the giftings that God would have given you are there for the purposes that he has for you. And I think that's wonderfully said, and a good transition to Chris. Chris started off in the church as a very young guy, and I met Chris in a, I guess, really got to know him during a time period in which we were having almost like an evangelism week where we are having a bunch of people in from other cities. Speaking of extra local kind of activity that happened, we had people all in and we were all coming together for a variety of different outreaches. And that's where I got to know Chris and his family a little bit better that week. And you've been a part since then.
Yeah, I was 13 at that time. And I think that was the same weekend that I told my mom I was going to marry your daughter. And she expressed concern over marrying a pastor's daughter. So.
And well, she should have.
But the time here at the church, I mean, so for me, that's 30 years that I've been at Metro out of our 35. Mm-hmm. And it's been a blessing to me personally. And we talk about Danny. Danny is really like a spiritual father to me. And I've had the opportunity to express that. So to be here and be a part of this team, when Aaron mentioned the health issues, I thought about some of the conversations we've been having. And 10 years ago, I'm not sure that we would have thought that Danny would still be here because of the severity of the health issues. And so it's a real blessing that he's a part of even just this transition, that it's not, there's not some competition amongst basically the founding elder of our church, the current lead pastor of our church, and then the guy that it's being handed off to, all being there on the same team together. I think that's just been a unique benefit to me personally and a real blessing, I hope, for the church as well.
You know, it seems to that I've heard this kind of a common, it is common from my experience, paradigm where you have a lead pastor who maybe would be like Danny, who's a 30-year guy at a local church, would often, I think much more often, when it comes time for a transition, would not only not be there in that congregation, but they might even move into a different part of the country. And the reasoning when I've asked about that would be that they didn't want to in any way be an influence that would remain behind that might in some negative way alter your effectiveness as the pastor who's coming in behind. And I so appreciate the fact that you guys are demonstrating that is not necessarily the case, that his investment in this local church goes on.
Yeah, and I think it serves the founding generation of our church as well, right? Like, Danny is one of our biggest cheerleaders, and he certainly is engaged in terms of asking questions and being a part of wanting to understand where it is that we feel like the Lord is leading us as a church. But he does that in a way that says, because I want to cheer you on, and I want to be one that can help answer questions when they come up rather than saying, oh, I don't know either. I don't know what these guys are up to either. And I think that that's always the concern when someone remains and it's like, well, if he doesn't know, you know, what confidence can we have in the leadership? And I think that Danny's real heart is to be one that is there to cheer us on and to help instill confidence in our leadership in the days ahead.
Well, I think it's so really exciting to hear Danny say, and he said this on a number of occasions to me, because Danny also just happens to be one of my life best friends. And I've known him, my goodness, since 1973 is the first time we met. And that tells you right there how long we go back. And in those days, I would never have believed that I would end up in ministry. I was in radio, of all things, when I met Danny back in the day. And he came up to visit us in Indiana when I was up there. But it's really important, Chris, for you to know that Danny is so excited about this thing, and he talks to people like me about this, his joy, and what I think excites him just about more than anything is the fact that you do carry on that same burden. He recognizes that you carry that in some ways, that vision that we prayed for years and years, to pass the baton to the next generation and to do it with joy and excitement rather than with what our experience from life has been, that it would often be maybe with bitterness and hesitation. But we're seeing this happen now in a real way with you coming up, because you are the next generation that's coming up, and he could not be more excited about that. That's an exciting thing.
Mm. Well, I know for years, and this was a mantra that I heard constantly growing up, that we want to represent heaven in terms of diversity, and that's not just racially. We want to represent heaven in terms of generationally as well.
Yeah,
and that's something that I think churches can focus on one or the other. And we've joked somewhat, you know, kind of tongue in cheek over the years, that by God's grace we're aging into a multi-generational church. But it's really what we experience on Sundays now. is that all of the generations are represented, and we have the benefit also of having that racial diversity as well.
It's true. It's true. And that is a very exciting thing to see happen as people are coming around, as people are joining not only Metro Life Church in this way. I believe God's doing something in the earth that is pulling people together, not in the same way that we've heard our new president talk about unity, but in a biblically based vision. I believe God's doing something. I had an interview yesterday with a guy in a completely different than a church context. He works in pro-life, and he was commenting on how that they are seeing, those that work in our pro-life centers are seeing a profound excitement among young people who are embracing the values of life right now. And so God's doing something in a lot of different ways across the earth, and it's happening in this congregation for a fact. I have in the studio with me today Aaron Osborne and Chris Jesse, and they're both elders at Metro Life Church. A big transition going on there, and we're going to be back with them coming up in a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. Back again in the studio today with a couple of dear people, dear to my family, dear to a lot of folks in the Orlando area, and that's Aaron Osborne from Metro Life Church. Aaron has served as the lead pastor of this church since 2011, and now is in transition, as he told us about in segment one, into more of a working with a number of local churches, not only in the United States, but internationally as well. We're going to talk about that in detail more in just a little bit, but I want to stay with Chris for a second. And Chris, this transition is not only huge for you, but it's obviously huge for the church as well. So you have a guy that has been serving as the lead pastor for 10 years. Now I'm going to be stepping out of that role into this new responsibility. You're stepping into that role, and then the people are obviously being affected as well, because that affects who's been preaching to them on Sundays. Although you guys have been sharing the pulpit for a long time now, I would say, and even other guys that are on that team also preach. But how is this transition? How are you looking at this?
Well, that's a great question. I would imagine that there's a lot of different aspects of that. I think in terms of my own sense of calling, it started a number of years ago, and it just started with some honest conversations with each other about just a sense that I had of what the Lord was leading to. And I remember where we were at driving to St. Pete when I brought this up to you for the first time. We were kind of off site for a day, just doing some planning together. And those are not the types of things that I wanted to share, because there was some sense of competition or trying to take things over or doing things my way, as much as it was like, this is what I feel like the Lord is laying on my heart. I'm not sure what to do with this, but I don't want to miscommunicate to you. So let me just bring you into some things I'm thinking and feeling. And Aaron was very gracious in that season of just saying, okay, well, let's explore that together. Let's pray about that together. I'd say that's probably where it kind of earmarked, or kind of the beginning of this process for us. I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, when we were just driving in St. Pete together.
Yeah. And I would say, Mike, to something of your timeline earlier about, this group of churches still being friends, and we were loose and all that, but around the same time, we did begin to dream and wonder and pray, what would a future look like? So without us planning that, I think they went in tandem.
I think that's right, because when God begins to move people in these directions, really a new format, a new structure is being formed right in your very eyes, and you guys were the participants. You were the folks having those talks, but it was definitely going to be affecting you, not only from the standpoint of watching it happen, but you're the principal players in some big changes that are going on.
Right.
And that's in one way, that's exciting, and it can be kind of like scary too, because it means change. And I don't know too many people that like change.
Well, Danny always said constant change is here to stay.
Right.
And that's the only constant in life. Well, maybe that and taxes.
And death. Yeah, right. Yeah. And there you go. Those three, right. Those three, they're going to be around for a while. Well, this is exciting. So tell us a little bit about how then that it spread out from your own heart to your family, to Stephanie, to the boys and Ella, and then beyond your family into the church.
Yeah, I would say that the conversations with my family have really ramped up more recently. Before we made any formal decision, one to just prayerfully consider, you know, where are we at as a family? I've got a son in college, one finishing high school, and a daughter in middle school. There's ramifications for our family's schedule, which we even just experienced last night, you know, when I'm getting a call away for a dinner that's unexpected. And some of that's pastoral ministry, and then some of that ramps up to a different level when you're working with sermon series and mm-hmm. a preaching team. You alluded to that a minute ago, and I'd say that's an area we're very blessed. We have a wonderful teaching team, kind of a shared vision in terms of how it is that we approach and present the Word of God in our church for our congregation. And I think that that's probably one of the greatest gifts that I walk into is I don't have to bear this alone. Mm-hmm. There's this strong team of people, not only elders in the church, but those that have the ability to teach, and deacons and community group leaders throughout the church, that there is this solid infrastructure of care for the church, and that doesn't all just fall to one individual. And I think that that's the biblical model of healthy church leadership. Mm-hmm. It doesn't all fall to one individual. And so I feel very blessed that I'm inheriting something very healthy that we get to kind of build on for the future.
And by and large, it would appear that the congregation a long time ago came to that point of belief and having and carrying the vision for what this transition really means, what it looks like, what it will look like in the future for you. They've been there for a while.
Yeah, I think that's right, Mike. And going back to that drive to St. Pete and onward, as various structural changes were coming in the church, areas particularly our community group structure, leadership development structures, more and more Chris's gifts were taking point. And mm-hmm. so I think visually, before we got to a formal announcement and decision, there was already a visual awareness that more and more is being shared, mm-hmm. Which was part intentional. I'd like to say it was all intentional, but I can't say it was all intentional, but part of it was intentional just to, if you will, to have Chris and I have talked a lot about this, in a relay, you know, on a track team or something like that, there's what is called the transition zone. And so you have the one who's run the lap mm-hmm. and they get into the transition zone, while the one who will run the next lap is also in that zone. And you're there together for a little while as that baton is passed. And so the hope in that is that the experience of the church is one continual lap, so to say. The baton is not dropped. No one's looking around. Who's taking the baton? So that's been on display. And I think going back to Danny, because he's sown this vision for the very beginning.
Mm-hmm, he has.
To be a sending church, to if you will, if we may borrow it, to be an Antioch church, a church that had a strong local eldership and leadership, and also a church that were sending out men for mission.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's had that vision, and he did preach that vision from day one. So it really does help. And Chris, it really helps you in your transition, because when people have that vision, even though, and churches have you've heard this for years, it's been sung about in song. It's a sorrowful thing when a person who's greatly loved as a leader is going to be doing something else. And many churches don't do well as a result of some of those kinds of transitions. But praise God, you guys are really modeling this thing in an amazing way. And there's nothing but faith about what I'm hearing, that this thing is going to go into this next life of its own, this next phase of a leadership at Metro Life Church, this next phase for Aaron Osborne and doing what you're doing. There's a lot of faith out there for this.
Yeah, and I think that's what just makes it very exciting for us. Even some of what we've heard from individuals in the church, faith for the future. I think that kind of in the process of talking through these things, where it started for us amongst the team, kind of outside of mine and Aaron's conversations, was we started a job description project where I thought we were just going to be working through where our gifts are complementary for one another. And this is where it really led to. Which mm-hmm. I think allows us to be some of the ones who are amazed most of all mm-hmm. by this process, and that it's the Holy Spirit that's leading. And I think what's fun about this is we get to point people to the preeminence of Christ in the church, that he is the head of the church. It's mm-hmm. not a man. And I think for me, that helps adjust my perspective for the years ahead, should the Lord tarry. I'm preparing this for whoever's coming behind me.
Now, I know you know this because you've just illustrated the truth that the church is not to be about a man. It's the work of Christ going through his leaders that he's got picked up. But yet we live in a day and age where sadly it's very common to see churches built around the personality of a strong leader. So, you know, that is not happening here.
Yeah, Mike, I think if somebody were to go back and play the tape of the last 10 years at Metro Life Church, for example, I don't think anyone would hear on a tape, good morning, Metro Life Church. My name is Aaron Osborne. I'm the lead pastor here at Metro Life Church. Mm-hmm. We have, I believe, modeled by Danny. I'm not saying it's wrong to say that, but by design, we've tried to be intentional to talk one of the team, one of the people in the church know what our roles are, but we've tried to stress the togetherness of our role. And I think in part for the reason you said. Now I'll be honest. I hope there's a little bit of sorrow when we make the transition sense of relationship. You know, that Acts 20 picture of the Ephesian elders just heartbroken at the thought that Paul wasn't going to be in their city anymore. So there's a biblical place for that while married to faith for the mission, faith for the calling of the gospel. We don't pursue change just because we think it's a good idea. No, in a lot of ways, it'd be easier to never pursue change, but we pursue it, or rather we follow what we believe the Lord is doing for the mission. And in reality, we spoke to this a little bit, while we don't know the future clearly, entirely, you know, I'm not leaving Metro Life Church. Like Paul went out from Antioch, but Antioch still held that place in his heart. And where I may not be so visibly present on Sundays or preaching as often, I want to be to Chris what Danny's been to Chris and me. I want to be his, outside of maybe his wife, I want to be his biggest cheerleader behind the scenes. And for the church to know, hey, you may not always see us together, but we're together.
And that is still what Danny is to this day.
Exactly.
So in reality, Chris has two now former lead pastors.
Yeah, pray for Chris.
that are cheering him on. And that is an exciting thing. It really is. I have to say, it's not a common thing. I can't think of too many times, if there are any times, that I've seen the kinds of transition that is happening right here. And that's why I felt like this is such an important topic to talk about, because there are, it's like a multiplication that's happening. There's an expansion that's going on. I mean, this thing that's being cooked up by God is going beyond the plate of Metro, and it's going in now into other areas. And that couldn't be more exciting to see the gospel spread like that.
Yeah. And you know, to be clear, Mike, I think by God's grace, it's been going well, but I would be remiss to not mention, you know, and this is an opportunity to actually commend Chris as well, is that as my mind is moving into partnership sphere and thinking about things like that, and yet I'm still here, I mean, I've dropped the communication ball a couple times, and that's left Chris having to pick up the pieces or follow up with me and ask, and he's been incredibly patient. So I wouldn't want to give any listener, particularly any pastors who are thinking transition, that, let's call those guys, because it sounds like they've done it perfectly. Like, no, it hasn't been. But by the grace of God, relationally, structurally, I'm grateful for what we're enjoying.
And you're right when you said that just because people have faith for a new direction does not mean that they are absent from any emotions in that direction. And I can't think of a single church that was ever planted out of that church when I was with you guys years ago. But what, there weren't many tears that went along with the joy, because while the mission was being fulfilled, we were sending away people that we loved dearly and we were going to miss greatly in more ways than one, not only relationally, but also just through the serving in the church.
Yeah, and if I'll just add, when we went through this as a family at the end of 2010, I mean, literally, it was Departure Sunday, and the Ryder truck was full, and we were moving 1,200 miles. And I'm grateful this one isn't quite that, you know, because I don't know that I'm not up for that right now. So I'm grateful that the Sunday we transitioned, March 28th, my street address is not changing.
That's exciting. Now, you mentioned the date. Chris, tell us a little bit about what might be planned on March 28th.
Well, I think that even just to go a little bit back to what you were just saying, there is a fruitfulness that we're seeing in the church as well, where people are really stepping up in new ways as we move forward, where they're even just taking the approach of, it's not just myself that has a change in role, but there are others that are having a change in role as well. So I think of some on our worship team, other leaders, some of our deacons, really stepping into some new roles that were a part of my job description, and they're taking those things on and really taking it beyond what we could have dreamed of, even in just the short amount of time of these last few months. But for the Sunday that we will transition, that's going to be Palm Sunday this year.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few special things surprised. I guess I should cancel the rider truck based on what Aaron just said, but I don't think that'd be funny now. But we have a few things, and one of the things that I think would be on my heart is that our church kind of regains that vision for church planting, even by sending or commissioning Aaron into this new role.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been something that's been a part of the heartbeat of Metro Life Churches, is planting other churches. And that makes a claim on us as a church. It means that we're not just facilitating people, we're developing them. We're helping to mature and unify them in the gospel. And that's an important aspect of what we do as a church. And I think that this will be kind of that visible sending, and it's been a while since we've had a church mm-hmm. plant go out, and this is not exactly the same thing, but I think that it can stir that vision again for multiplication, not just within this congregation, but for others as well. And I think we've seen plenty of multiplication by division in churches over the years, but there's a healthier way to do that. There's a biblical yes. way to do that.
And a more pleasing way to do that too, I believe, the Word of God, and I'm thankful that is the heart and the goal for this one. As this thing is now coming to a day, I think it would be important to go back for a moment now and tidy up that transition that happened inside of these churches when it was officially formed now in a formal way with a name, and that name, you mentioned it earlier, was Grace Partnership. Aaron, explain that, if you will, a little bit, why the concept of a partnership was something that you wanted to have actually in the name.
Well, primarily, Mike, that comes from Philippians 1, 3-5, where Paul is thanking the Philippian church for their partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And so there's the relational beauty of mm-hmm. that word. It's not grace hierarchy. It's not grace structure. I mean, structure exists, but to really accent the one anothering, the togetherness, and that we are stronger together than we ever could be on our own. We're able to do more by way of mission. We're able to do more by way of equipping, etc. And so partnership just being that word that hopefully makes it as accessible to the maximum amount of people that this exists to be that extra local expression of the broader body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. And you have churches that were some of these that were named earlier as friends, people that you've known, relationships that you've had. But there's now a lot of people that have been brought in that you would not have known at the beginning of this process.
That's absolutely correct. And really, relationship has been the conduit through mm-hmm. which that's come. Someone who is a part of the partnership, has a relationship with someone that they think, I really think this would be beautiful. In fact, this coming Sunday afternoon, this would be near and dear to you. I'll be with Abundant Grace Community Church mm-hmm. in Gainesville, Florida.
Right.
And we'll have a brief luncheon. And then following that mid-afternoon, Phil Corson, the lead pastor there, and myself will go to be with one of the elders and deacons of Open Door Ministries, another church there in Gainesville that is formally partnering with Grace Partnership, which I'm so excited for that. But that is someone I did not know. I did not know who Tim Jones was. Now he's become a dear friend, someone I look forward to time together with. But it was the relationships that we have that gets us into touch with new relationships. Mm-hmm.
And isn't that just the way, really, the whole church grows? Even in a local church, it is that very thing. I think for so long, people had the image that all church growth was to come through some excellent preaching, and thank God for excellent preaching or gifted pastors, and thank God for gifted pastors. But the church is to grow organically as we take the message of the gospel and the light of the Lord into our world.
Yeah, I would say it's irreplaceable. We could put a billboard up on the highways. We could do all manner of programming. Those personal contacts, that personal touch, I don't know that we can ever replace that.
Now, tell us a little bit about, Aaron, the international flavor of some of these. How in the world did you get involved in some of the countries in Europe?
Great question. I'll just share one story in particular. So Ab and Marcia Mierbeek, Ab will be one of our speakers at our partnership conference taking place next week. They were on vacation. They're from the Netherlands. They were on vacation in Florida years ago in the early 90s and somehow found their way to Metro Life Church one Sunday morning. They didn't know anyone and no one knew them. And a member, Darren Slack, had a prophetic word for them that he shared about a burden that was on their heart. And they marveled at the grace of God that God would send someone to them to bring really a confirmation about a church plant that they were embarking on. So this vacation that year represented sort of their last hurrah before they would go home and launch a church. All those years later, they were on vacation again in Florida. And they said, I wonder about that Metro Life Church. And about 6 years ago, one Sunday morning, in they came, and they were there. Darren Slack, with a little less hair, was there. Danny Jones was there. And that's how it began. That led to an invitation to go and visit with them. And here we are. Now we have a couple coming from the Ukraine to the conference because they're able to skip over the EU nations that are not permitted to come to the U.S. right now. Well, Volodymyr and Tanya came to us relationally, as we were just talking about, through Ab and Marcia in the Netherlands. And so a relationship begets a relationship begets a relationship. And so here we are.
And that's exactly what has happened. And it's so great to see how the multiplication begins to take place, because when one person goes out and grabs that person, that doesn't mean that Ab and Marcia aren't still reaching out, and their impact is going to go out. And who knows what the future holds. It's going to be exciting to see, though.
Very exciting. Very exciting.
We'll be back in a moment with my guest today. This is Aaron Osborne with me in the studio, along with Chris Jesse. They are from Metro Life Church. Exciting things going on there. And we'll talk more about this conference that Aaron has alluded to in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike right here on The Shepherd. So excited to have both Chris Jesse and Aaron Osborne from Metro Life Church. You heard already, just if you've just tuned in, the recap would be that Aaron will be commissioned. Aaron has been serving for 10 years as the lead pastor at Metro Life Church. He will be commissioned for a new direction, still will be living in Orlando, still will be a part of that church, but spending his time and his focus no longer just on Metro Life Church, but on these other churches that are related through the organization called Grace Partnership. So that day will be a day for Aaron, and it will also be a day, obviously, along with that, for Chris, as Chris will be then commissioned as the lead pastor, and we're very excited about that for you. You also mentioned a conference coming up that's real soon. It's next week. Why don't you tell about that?
Yes, coming up next Thursday, February 25th, I should say this Thursday, through Saturday the 27th is our annual Grace Partnership Conference, and the theme this year is community, together in the gospel.
That's right, because this is being recorded on Friday, but is actually playing back on Monday, so it is this coming weekend.
Yes, just a few days away, and should there be a local Orlando listener who is intrigued by all this, they can find out all about that at gracepartnership.net. In terms of the conference itself, this is our opportunity to come together, and admittedly, it'll look a little different this year due to COVID. I alluded in our last segment to the fact that, like our dear friends from the Netherlands, are unable to be with us due to restrictions right now. On the other hand, Mike, we're going to be streaming it live, and so I think overall we're going to have more in attendance, if you will, than in prior years. They just may not be physically present. And so this is not only for leaders and pastors. This is really the place, and we pray it will grow over the years, where people will catch that vision. And you know, from things like actually going out for a meal with one of those families from Colombia or another country or another part of the United States, just to get that flavor. Chris talked earlier about the diversity of heaven, you know, to actually experience that within our partnership. And so Yes, I'm eager for the main sessions, the teaching, the worship, those things, but I'm eager for people to make those individual connections, which have happened in the past. And now some Metro members this year are hosting families from other places because they build a relationship in years past in conferences gone by.
And when that happens, it's like if nothing less than a reunion of friends.
It truly is.
And then to be able to worship together with those friends and to spend time after a conference, I personally am one that loves such events as a conference because you get to see people that you just don't get to relate to every day, and it's so much fun to get caught up. And, you know, the mark of a true friend is it might be a year or two in between, sometimes 20 years in between. The mark of a true friend is when you get right back together and it is as if nothing ever was lost at all.
That's right. So at the moment, we're eager to welcome people from 15 different churches, and we'll see if a couple more come on board in the next few days.
For people, again, just for those that might have just tuned in, this new group that you are now going to be heading up on a full-time basis is called Grace Partnership. And if there are churches that, if there are pastors listening right now, and not only that, but there could be people who are wanting to contribute because they are able to contribute to this faith step that you're making by going into leading, they can actually contribute directly to Grace Partnership. So tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's right, Mike. Our hope, and we're on our way, and this is, I feel, part of my mandate for the months ahead, is to continue to grow those relationships. And what we'd like to see is, as churches come on board, they'll make their faith-filled, prayer-informed decision of how they're going to contribute to the partnership to care for the structure, sort of that Levitical picture in the Old Testament. And then the individuals who are in faith to give monthly will really work to serve the mission of the partnership, all of which can be found online at gracepartnership.net. And so, yes, one need not even be in a Grace Partnership church to be a contributor. If orphans are on your heart, if care, mercy ministry, compassion ministries are on your heart, if short-term missions trips is of interest, it need not be limited to, oh, I wish I could, but my church isn't a part. And as you mentioned, pastors as well, we'd love to have that conversation. There's an easy contact form right on the webpage, again, at gracepartnership.net.
And again, for somebody like that, that might be interested in saying, you know, this is a year that I'd like to gain more structure, more relationship. There are a lot of pastors that do feel very alone and isolated. They could come out to this conference and just kind of observe and join in and get an idea what it might be like if they decided to sign up themselves.
Absolutely. Mike, I like to use two C's to describe what we're about. There is conference time. That's important. The sense where you're really getting the exegesis of the Word of God to get a sense of, okay, I know what they're about theologically. I've read their affirmation of faith. But I think you also need coffee time.
Yeah.
You need just like time that. Where you're getting to know a person and you're beginning to share in one another's lives in those ways. And so that's hopefully built into the conference and beyond.
Now, the old days, Danny would have said that was Coke time. He would not have used coffee at all. But I'm glad
he still wouldn't.
I'm glad you did. Chris, for you, there's exciting days coming up, not only for Metro Life Church, but for you and your family. And I know that Easter is a pivotal time, really, for every church. It's the biggest event in our church calendar, and this year's is going to be doubly big for you.
Yeah, I definitely feel that sense of urgency with the date approaching, and excited to preach on the power of the resurrection in the Christian life, and just looking at Ephesians 1 together and what the implications are for the believer. We have a Good Friday service as well, but I know in the days ahead, we're in the book of Romans right now. We're doing a series in the book of Romans, and we're going to continue that really through the summer, and then we've got some excited things planned for the fall as well as Advent season coming up. So,
explain just a little bit about walking through expositionally, kind of teaching an entire book like you're doing right now, the advantage of that.
It's a great way to really see the breadth of the knowledge of God for the believer and the breadth of the call of God to those to return to Him, for His creation to return to Him. And Romans, obviously, is a very dense book theologically, and you have just this tremendous, these kind of singing passages where they talk about the work of the Spirit in the life of the believer as well. I'm thinking of Romans 8 and just so much that we get to share in the inheritance with Christ mm-hmm. and the blessings that come as a part of that. Really going verse by verse, the goal is not to try to preach a commentary, but the goal is to see those themes and to understand them and understand really the depths of them so that we can experience the fullness of the blessing of them as well in our lives. And that's what I think is one of the main benefits of going through expositional preaching like that, through a book, just slowly working through.
Now for you, give the church's web address, if you will.
At metrolife.org, very simply, Metro Life Church. You can be found online at metrolife.org.
And Aaron, if you would once again, Grace Partnership.
That's gracepartnership.net.
Gracepartnership.net. Both of you guys are dear. I can't tell you how excited I am for both of you. I know Aaron, and I do encourage people, if they're looking and their tax returns are, if they haven't already started coming, they soon will. If people are wanting to donate to this cause that you've mentioned, the Grace Partnership cause, they can find it out there. And I know that that will be a step of faith, because these people that you are serving, especially the churches internationally, they can't even comprehend what American churches do or have or what we are able to even think about. So I know you're reaching out in a particular way that's very helpful to them.
Thank you, Mike. Thank
you. It's awesome. And guys, thank you for being with me, both of you here, and friends, you as well, for being with me today on Afternoons with Mike. We'll catch you next time right here on The Shepherd.